In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
For the world, the hubbub of Christmas is done and over for another year. The stores look like Christmas never even happened, already ready for Valentine's Day, which of course has nothing to do with St. Valentine. The radio stations cut off the carols at the stroke of midnight Monday night, or Tuesday morning, depending on how you want to count it. But for the church, we're still in the midst of the Christmas season. Today is the seventh of 12 days. What's particularly interesting is how the church celebrates. Not with the world's nostalgia or with the warm and fuzzies, but with days filled with martyrs and the shedding of blood. It's for the holy innocents, for Saints Stephen and John, for every martyr and confessor, for you, that Jesus sheds his blood, even already as an infant, which we will celebrate tomorrow morning. For God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. His destiny is sealed in the will of the Father from all eternity, born to fulfill, to make right, to be peace and consolation, to redeem and save you from your sins. Even as an infant, Jesus is in the temple meeting the law's demands. Yet this child is he who is to be worshipped. God from all eternity, he dwelt in the Holy of Holies in fire and in smoke, and now receives the worship and adoration of Simeon and Anna. He comes in your flesh to call you to himself and restore you. For by sin, by pride, lust, and unbelief, you separated yourself from him. The thoughts of your heart are revealed, and you are found lacking and worthy only of condemnation. What does the hatred of Christ that pierces Mary's soul look like today? Yes, it's in those martyrdoms of your brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. But what about closer to home? What about when you treat your baptism as though it were a magic trick for you and your children? Do you live as if your job, your family, and leisure time mattered most, and as if God did not? As if Jesus will surely forgive you if you keep on sinning without repentance? Dress up your sin however you like. The thoughts of your heart are always revealed by the Word of God. Faith isn't some self-sustaining endeavor, but a constant fight against the desires of your flesh. You cannot hide your heart from God. It's the devil's deceit that says your faith is just fine without Christ's gifts, that you can neglect the third commandment in every and any way that you like, but you know even in your heart that that's a lie, no matter how much your flesh might feel you're just fine. Yet God takes on your flesh and is born under the law for you. He comes to meet its demands and bear its burden. God is born a child to fulfill his destiny upon the wood of the Holy Cross in your place. He's born to give you eternity by saving you from your sins. God is born to join your worship with that of Simeon and Anna. Perfect in place of your sin. Virtuous in place of your immorality, and faithful in place of your infidelity, this infant is the great and eternal high priest who offers the sacrifice of himself, interceding before his Father to look not upon your sins, but upon his righteousness. Jesus pleads that the Father would withhold what you rightly deserve, because he willingly takes upon himself the full wrath and judgment of God for your sin. He pleads the damning wrath of God be poured out upon him, not you. For the law requires your full obedience at all times. One slip up, one little white lie, no matter how minor in your eyes or brushed off by others it might be, damns you to hell for eternity. God's wrath must be poured out. Blood must be shed. But Jesus spills his blood that yours would be spared. His body is roasted in the fire of the Father's wrath that you would be escorted into heaven. By his innocent sufferings and death, by his sacrifice of himself upon the cross, Jesus makes you to be as he is. You're baptized into his death and resurrection, and what is now yours. Who Jesus is now who you are. The child and heir of God, adopted in the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. You are perfect, righteous, and holy. You are redeemed and rescued from bondage to sin, death, and the grave. The law's accusations have done their worst, and Jesus lives. In him, so too shall you. You are redeemed. For the sword has pierced the soul of the Virgin Mary. That sword pierces through her soul and into the side of her son. And from his side flow the twin rivers of blood and water. One fork fills the font, where Jesus washes you clean and covers you with his righteousness. The other fills the chalice, where Jesus pours his cleansing and life-giving blood into you. That sword that pierces Mary's soul, in the anguish of a mother watching her son's passion, brings you comfort and consolation, not by Mary's anguish, but by the very passion, suffering, and death of her son. It brings you Jesus. Thus the sign to be opposed is the Holy Cross. The world sees it as foolishness and a stumbling block. Men hide their faces from the crucified Jesus. But for you, it's the sign of comfort and peace. It's the sign by which God calls you to himself. It's the sign that death is dead. For upon the Holy Cross, God's wrath is consumed, his justice satisfied, and you go free. The cross is for you comfort and peace, for your consolation is Jesus the crucified who redeems you. This child of Bethlehem brings peace between you and his father. He's your consolation, salvation, and rest, who makes you strong when you are wearied and burdened with sin. He brings you to life when time has run its course and you're ready to be laid to rest. Jesus is born to restore you. You don't wait for something yet to be given, for he gives you the kingdom even now in the washing of water and the word. Eternal life is yours as you eat and drink. Indeed, you now go to death as though going to the sacrament, and to the sacrament as though to death. That is, in peace and in joy. For that blood poured out upon the cross, Jesus now pours into your mouth to purify and refine you like gold and silver. That body presented to the Lord in the temple, embraced by Simeon and offered upon the cross, is joined to yours, that you too may burst the bonds of death and live. God's word of promise to you is fulfilled in Jesus. Not only have you seen your salvation, but you have tasted him in his body and blood. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, for you are now the place of his gracious presence, his beloved, and abode of his spirit. Neither your sorrow nor pain will last. Jesus lives. To live by faith means believing in the word of Jesus and his promises, even when you feel cold and dead inside. When you're full of self-pity and seem lost in a foggy make-believe world, when the only emotion you know is sadness, even then you live by faith, trusting in God's word. In such painful and fearful times, faith boldly says, "So what? Yes, I hurt and am sad, but God's word is still true. God is good and true, and he is here for me as he said he would be. Jesus died to set me free." When nostalgia and the warm and fuzzies don't measure up or don't cut it, and even when you think that they do, the body and blood of Jesus is more than enough to bestow joy and hope to your pondering heart. This sad life isn't all there is, and this fallen world will not last. Jesus was born and died and rose to bring you home. His love for you will remove all your pain, stop all the violence and debauchery, and bring your children back. He will make all things right and wipe away every tear on the last day. The Lord's Christ, your salvation, is come into the world, announced by angels, greeted by shepherds and Gentile sages, his glory sung by young and old alike. No, Christmas is not over. Jesus is still with you. Once Christmas comes, it never leaves. The law is fulfilled. And in the bread and wine, you see God's salvation. You see and receive Jesus himself. In him, the favor of God rests upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.